Hi, we are here at Story Strategy with Daniela Romero. So, Daniela, welcome. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your writing career so far, and what you're working on?
So I am a USA Today bestselling contemporary and paranormal romance author. I've been writing since 2015, and I have over, 15 titles out right now. That's kind of the basics of me, I guess.
Okay.
And right now I'm working on a new contemporary romance that will be a book one in a new series.
Okay. So is that what we're going to be talking about today?
Yes.
Excellent. Will you tell us a tiny bit about your writing process? Because we had the benefit of a quick pre-discussion and it sort of blew my mind a little bit. So tell us how you...
It was fun. Actually, it just exploded. It was awesome.
Yeah, so I write out of order. I used to try plotting, and I never really got the hang of it, and I read all of the books, and I tried all the different methods, and then I finally was, I guess, granted permission, so to speak, from a friend who was like, just stop plotting. So I did, and I tend to write the scenes that I feel like I know that they need to exist, and they generally are the ones that originally inspired the story to begin with, right?
Sure.
And I write that scene or that chapter, and then I kind of write more, and I just jump all over the place. It's completely out of order. And once I feel like I have enough scenes, which is usually around 20, so I'll kind of jot like a one sentence line of what happens at each one on a sticky note. And then I start like putting them together like puzzle pieces, and I see where the holes are, and then I fill them.
That is absolute insanity. But I love it. I actually really like the puzzle piece part of it. It's the like writing out of order thing that blows my mind.
Yeah. And and sometimes it works really, really great for me. And the story just flows and it all makes sense. And other times I have lots of gaps that I don't know what to do with, which is where I'm at right now.
Well, in all of this, sorry, I just want to caveat, Dawn. When I say it blows my mind, I'm not saying it's wrong. There is no wrong. I love hearing about other people's process.
Yes, that's a great way of honoring your process, because I do work with other authors who write out of order as well. But I'm just getting such a kick out of Nancy looking like she could faint at any moment right now.
It just is. I don't know if the person who told you it was okay to quit was Becca Syme, but
yeah,
I figured we're huge Becca supporters and we love
the
straight love. We always talk about them. So I think it's just the way mine are aligned, is that everything is very linear, and I'm not a plotter, but I cannot imagine what you're describing working for me. But I love the idea. Okay, sorry. That was total distracted.
So tell us about the book you're working on now and the pieces you have so we can start building some bridges.
So the book that I'm working on right now is a new adult college sports romance. All of my books tend to include like trauma and triggers. I would say that I fall into the vein of being dark, but not like my books generally all need a trigger warning, but not because my heroes are super dark, bad people. So the way that the story is flowing so far is the heroine is sexually assaulted at a college party. And originally her kind of coping with the aftermath of that, like it had already happened, was where the story began. And I don't know how much detail you want, but like if you remember years and years and years ago, there was a swimmer who sexually assaulted a girl on campus and got away with like a slap on the wrist. It's heavily inspired by that. Privileged athlete gets away with it for the most part, and she still has to struggle with seeing her assailant every day on campus. Our hero is a teammate of his, and he is kind of the person who helps put her back together. But she's very much coping with her own trauma. So like jumping into the sexy bits that I would normally do is a little bit harder on this story because it takes so much more build up. And then his damage is he had a brother. I probably should have led with this part too. So after sexual assault ensues, justice is not ever served. She attempts suicide. He's the guy who found her.
Okay.
So his damage is that he has a brother who committed suicide. So he wants to fix her. He has like this hero complex that he can save her. So much of their journey together is kind of her trying to navigate her trauma and him wanting to help her, and then love kind of blossoming from that. And okay. I know my problem in the sense of like the pain points and like the black moment, why they end up choosing not to be together, why she pushes him away, because she needs to know that he wants to be with her because of her and not because he just wants to fix her, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I know that part. I know the ending and kind of our big traumatic thing, and those parts are already written where our villain, so to speak, goes a little too far, because our hero will get him kicked off of the team and just kind of goes, since the school wasn't willing to do anything and society wasn't willing to do anything, our hero kind of takes matters into his own hands. And our villain responds negatively to that and physically assaults our heroine again, not sexually, but like in a way on campus that is on camera, so he can now be prosecuted for assault. And that kind of brings our hero and our heroine back together, because she realizes that he still always had her back even when they weren't together. But I guess like what I'm missing is the fun and games of the story.
My first question is, why did she stay on that campus? What is holding her there?
And she's kind of just going. I don't think she realizes. So the way that it's set up right now is she's staying on campus because it's almost like she just doesn't care, right? So like she tried to commit suicide. That didn't work out. Since then, she's been dealing with the repercussions of an attempted suicide. So she had to move back home. Her parents are hovering. They're forcing her to go to therapy, which she's not receptive to, that she can get away. If that makes sense, because in her mind, I'm just checking these boxes and continuing school so that my family leaves me alone.
Okay.
And kind of a reoccurring like negative conversation that comes up between her and the hero, him constantly assurance that like she's not going to try again, and her not being willing to give him that.
Okay.
I think you need another layer to that, because outside looking in, if you have this person who is having to deal with seeing someone who did something really, really bad to her all the time, to the point she tries to take her own life, there needs to be a very strong reason why she's not removing herself from that situation. And so I think if you had another layer to that of, this is the only school in the state that offers whatever she wants to study, and so she doesn't have the option of leaving, or it's she has a full ride to the school, and if she leaves now, she will lose a semester and she doesn't think she can get a full ride to another school. There needs to be some kind of external tether holding her to that school, because if her family cares about her enough that they are trying to get her in therapy and they are doing all of these things to try to help her, it seems like one of the steps would be removing her from that situation.
So the family knows she committed suicide. The family doesn't know she was sexually assaulted.
Have.
And part of like, it sounds so weird talking your book out loud. Sorry. So a big reason in part of like why he gets away with what he gets away with is that her father is a politician, and he essentially kind of like blackmails her into staying quiet. And she doesn't initially, like, but she thinks, you know, she's somebody who has like a very level head on her shoulders. And she kind of like goes through her mind of like all of the possible scenarios, because this is the 21st century and we know that victims are not always treated as victims, right? So it's kind of like, I was at a college party, I was drinking on campus. She goes through all of the things of like, what is going to look bad against her and what is going to actually support her story and help her. And she decides, and like through conversations with her friends, what is it that she is hoping to get out of the end of this? And she just doesn't want to have to see him anymore. She doesn't want him to get away with what he did to her. So her first stop is going to campus, basically, right? Because every college campus has a Title IX program, and kind of trying to go that avenue. And then when that kind of blows up in her face in such a bad way, it's kind of like, well, what's the point of trying to take it further when not even that worked? His parents are like rich, wealthy attorneys who happen to contribute to her father's campaign, and they withdraw their support, and that negatively impacts her family. And she starts seeing the stress that they're going through and doesn't want to add to it. So it's kind of like she tries to keep all of her own trauma and her own stuff bottled up inside, which then ends up leading to the attempted suicide. So they know about that. They think that she has depression. She's kind of like, I don't have mental illness, I'm just depressed. In her mind, she's like, it's not that. But she's not willing to tell them either, because she already sees how much this has negatively impacted her family. She's like, it will just make it worse. and like why make it worse for them?
Could you make it where she's a legacy and everybody in our family goes to the school, and if I leave the school, it's going to be considered a scandal, basically, that everybody goes to, I don't know, I'm in Texas, everybody goes to the University of Texas, but if I was to leave the school and go to A&M, that's a huge thing. And so there just needs to be some tether there, I think, to keep it.
It's holding her.
Yes, yeah, something's holding her there. And then for him, what, because we haven't heard really what either one of their goals are for their like education and what they're working towards and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So for him, you said you think you're missing the fun and games. What are they working towards, and how can we make that something that brings them together that can add in the fun and games?
That's a very good question.
Yeah, is there some event on campus that maybe they're both a part of, or maybe, because I would guess if she's in this mindset, she's not going out and joining a bunch of parades and things. But if he is so concerned about her, maybe he, how do they meet?
So the first time they meet is because he's the person who finds her.
Oh, that's right.
When she tried to kill herself. The second time they meet, she's being kind of cornered in the hallway by Arvilla. Uh-huh. And he just happens to like walk up to say hi because they're teammates, and then recognizes her. And that's kind of what sparks him continuing to like learn more and pursue her, because after he originally found her, it was kind of like take her to the hospital, and then he doesn't know anything about her, didn't get her name, obviously, or anything like that. He's on campus for a 4A scholarship to play soccer. That's his primary focus. He's not supposed to be looking for a relationship or interested in a relationship. All of my books tend to be found families. So that's kind of what he'll end up, in a way, being able to offer her through his friend group, because as athletes too, they don't get heavily into the party scene. They're not into the fraternity stuff the way some people who play sport just as a pastime do. Like, they're very career minded. So he'll bring her around as he can to like some of the more casual things that he does with just his friend group, where they like might barbecue or do family type stuff. But he very aggressively inserts himself into her life.
It's his goal to go pro. It's his goal to become a coach. What is he?
His goal will be to go pro.
Okay. And then what is her goal? What is she studying? What does she want to do when she's out of school?
I really got into that. I hadn't actually really dug into her goals, because at the point where I had originally started the book, it was kind of like she's just trying to get through the day. I had set up where like she had lost things. She used to be a cheerleader. She's not anymore. She used to have this great friend group. She doesn't anymore, because they kind of went the path of like popularity versus actually supporting their friend. So I guess the goal that he pushes on her that she at some point embraces is she realizes she's a really good swimmer. And that's how she just kind of settles her own mind. Like, she goes to the pool because she can be alone. She can swim. Nobody's going to talk to her. And she does make mentions throughout the story that like her times are good enough. If she wanted to be on the college swim team, she compares herself to some of the other teammates sometimes, knowing that she's better, but she doesn't pursue it. And I've played and like made notes of myself of like that could be something that she could pursue in kind of a way that she like rediscovers herself, but it's not there yet.
So she needs a reason to be getting up every day.
Yeah.
And she needs a light at the end of this tunnel, which can be distorted by the depression and the attempt. But she needs something that the reason I am staying at the school and the reason I am dragging myself to these classes and the reason I am getting out of bed every morning is because eventually I will hit whatever. And so even if that goal is I have to graduate and then my parents will leave me alone, you know, or I have to graduate and then I can go off and become a travel writer or a advocate for victims of domestic violence, whatever. She needs something she's headed towards.
I'll be entirely honest. I don't know that in the beginning, at least, that that would work at all without me literally rewriting the entire book, because it truly is like when I said before that he constantly wants confirmation that she's not going to try again and she won't give it to him. It's because in her mind, she made a commitment to her parents that she's just going to stick it out this next semester. And then in her mind, it's like checkout time.
Okay.
So like eventually she needs to have goals. She needs to have a reason. She's not just going day by day anymore, because she has, and that's where I feel like the relationship part of it was coming in, where like she realizes that through this relationship with him and through him having like inserted himself into her life and forcing her to go to these functions or to be involved in these things, and his big push is like, you can't be isolated because then you're never going to get better, right? Is that then she'll start to discover those things or those wants or those desires. But for the first third of the book, they don't exist because she just doesn't want to be here.
But she has a goal. You just said she has a goal. She has to make it to the end of the semester.
Yes.
And so...
So her goal is basically to kill herself at the end of the semester?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
And that's okay. That's still a goal. Yep. She has something she is working towards. And so if her thing is, I'm going to make it to the end of the semester, that's it. I have to make it till May 13th. I'm going to make it to the end of the semester. And then he sees that in her. And his goal, of course, is to get her to make it to May 14th. Then I think where you're looking for the, how am I going to tie this all together, is you need those moments that are not based in trauma to build the relationship.
Right.
And so if it's something like he tells her, okay, we're going, and I'm spaghetti at the wall. That's, if you don't like any of this, that is absolutely fine. Will not hurt my feelings. But if he's like, okay, we're going to go do all of the silly childhood things you should have done because you were being raised in this political family and you couldn't be silly. So he takes her like, today we're going to go to the park and we're not going to have a picnic like grownups. We're going to go play on the swings and I'm going to push you down the slide. Or if his goal is, I'm going to show you all of the beautiful things in the world. So we're going to go hiking and I'm going to make you look off this pier where you can see the landscape. Or every day I'm going to bring you a new board game and we're going to learn how to play it.
Yeah, I like those ideas. And her, you could have her arc kind of shifting where she's dreading it. Like she hates that he is making her do all this stupid stuff because there's no point to it. But then maybe one morning she wakes up and figures out like, I'm actually kind of looking forward to this stupid thing that we're doing today. And that could like be a really fun and satisfying thing to read, to see her slowly shifting out of this self-murdering mindset into like, I want to hang out with that guy. Like I am having fun.
I actually really like that idea. It reminds me a little bit of like 50 First Dates. My question, and I'll have to unravel it in my mind a little bit, is what makes her agree to do it?
Maybe she doesn't. Maybe he starts sneaking things in.
Maybe he's just a pest.
Yeah, like maybe.
So that is how like he gets himself in her life at first, is that once he figures out who she is, he changes his schedule so that he's in two of her classes. And makes it a point that like there are two classes that actually fulfill his degree requirements. He's not like screwing up his entire college academics for her. But and she gets super upset about it and at first tries to avoid him. But then like he has zero problem like awkwardly getting up in the middle of class to go and take the seat next to her when she decides to move herself. Or and he's popular enough since he's, you know, a college ball player of being like, hey, can I have this seat? And that person will move and give it to him. So, like, she realizes she can't escape him there. And he does at one point talk to her parents, which she gets really, really pissed off about, to be like, hey, I want her to, like, come to my practices. Or you guys, I know that, like, she had some stuff happen. And they just love him so much because that he's who found her and, like, saved their child. So
right.
He can have anything that he wants, right? So that's his excuse for kind of, like, forcing her to go to his practices because he doesn't want her, like, just going home and sulking by herself.
You could almost make it less about him, like, taking her to do things or playing games and more, like, just constantly surprising her. Like, maybe she shows up to his practice that she doesn't want to go to and he's like, oh, this is your chair over here. And it's got a giant bouquet of balloons tied on top of it. And she's like, this is ridiculous. I feel like a moron. And then the next day, it's like something else. Like, maybe he just keeps surprising her and she's finding herself suddenly looking forward to figuring out what is he going to do today.
Well, and you can add, I love that idea. And you can add the layer of maybe he tells her he needs her for something. If he's the one who found her and he's telling her, I want you to come to my practices. I want you to play these games with me. I want to take you roller skating. And she's no. Maybe he's something like, you know, I volunteer at this dog shelter and I have to go this afternoon and walk 5 dogs and I absolutely do not have time to do it. Can you please help me out just this one time?
Well,
and then she's got a little bit of a responsibility because, okay, he found me. I can go walk the dogs for him for this one time.
What if we took that a little deeper? What if he legit, because he's looking kind of perfect right now, like this glowing golden boy.
Well, and slightly stalkerish, and I'd be led the best way.
But what if he legit has a problem that she can help solve?
He is slightly stalkerish. And so he's perfect, but he's not, right? He's perfect for her. He's kind of our like quintessential player. Doesn't do relationships, has a reputation for not doing relationships. So like she goes into this whole thing like very standoffish to begin with, just because he's a guy, given what she's been through, but like even more so because he's an athlete. His, I guess, damage is obviously his brother committed suicide. So like he has that trauma, but he has like a really negative family life. And I don't know if that's something she can actually help him with, because kind of as is common when there's trauma in family, it basically tears the entire family apart, right? So a lot of his stuff is just that like his parents weren't there for him and they couldn't even be there for each other and his entire family fell apart.
Well, you could make it a smaller scale, like what Nancy said, and what you just said, if he's a player, he doesn't do relationships. So maybe it's, hey, I've got to go to this soccer thing, and this girl's going to be there. And if I'm there by myself, she's going to want to talk to me. So I just need you to come stand next to me. I just need a girl with me to make it look like I'm not interested in her.
But you could twist that wound so that it somehow relates to something she can deliver, so that maybe his brother's suicide had something to do with the relationship he was in. And that's why this guy, like, I don't do relationships. Like, I've seen the bad things that can happen as a result of loving someone too much. And I don't know, something along those lines. And then she, the way that she serves his wound is by demonstrating that not all relationships are like that. And, you know, we can be this thing that your brother and his girlfriend were not. Or, I don't know, I'm missing some piece of it. But he has to have some kind of a need that she can fill. And it has to be legitimate enough that it gets her out of bed in the morning because she knows he needs her.
Well, and if she has some kind of talent, like if she is acing her Spanish class and he's like, look, I got to get my GPA up to keep my scholarship. Can you practice with me? Or if she's good at, it's been a really long time since I was in college. If she's good at organic chemistry, I don't know. But if she has some kind of talent that can help him, or even if it's something like, I've got to learn how to do my own laundry because my mom's not doing it anymore, or something like that. Just something little so that you start building something that is separate from him trying to take care of her all the time. Does that help at all? Does that give you anything to work with?
It actually does. While you guys have been talking, I have like, I don't know if you see when my arms start to move a little bit, I've been like typing out some notes.
Okay, good.
All right. Is there anything else you want to ask, or any specific things occurring to you that you want to clarify?
Not that I can think. I feel like my brain is still processing all of it and you start kind of like firing off ideas in your head. So no, I think this was really helpful.
So the important question, you said when we first started talking that you just weren't excited about writing the end of this book. So do you feel inspired a little bit? Like, are you looking to get back to the keyboard now?
I do. I think that it'll, like, the part that I am like latching onto the most from this conversation that are going to first things I do go to write, because you know, the out of order thing is like those weird spontaneous surprises, like the little dates or adventures or surprises that he does. Like, I'm very intrigued by that idea. So like that part, cool. Yes, I'm excited to go see what I can make happen.
Yeah. Awesome.
Good.
Wonderful. Well, you know where to find us if you need us. So please don't hesitate to reach out and let us know how this is going as you work through it. And we'll hopefully talk to you again.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right.
You can find story writing tips, tricks, coaching, and courses at our site, www.evidentinc.com. Get live feedback in our writing community at Facebook at facebook.com/evidentinc. And find past episodes of Story Strategy at our YouTube channel. Story powers the world, and we can't wait to help you tell yours.